Welcome to the UFO Files Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the UFO Files. This is Jerry Pippin. I'm in Oklahoma. We have Larry Dickin in Secaucus, New Jersey. And in a few minutes, we'll bring on Rod Davis, who, of course, wrote the trilogy River of Fear, and we'll be talking to him from Las Vegas. So it's definitely a national show today, Larry.
We're just all over the place.
We're doing some UFO sightings, and we thought, since we'll have Rod on from Las Vegas, we might mention this sighting that happened over the New York Hotel.
Yeah.
What exactly happened there? I mean, this is the second time we've had a report about that. Remember, 2 or 3 months ago, somebody reported something very similar.
Right. Yeah, it was a couple of months ago we had a report from Las Vegas, and I made note at the time that in actuality, over the past year, there had been very few reports from Nevada at all. And then all of a sudden this pops up, and right in downtown Las Vegas.
Sure.
Right. And what it was is two women were walking around on the outside part of the New York Hotel complex, and they looked up in the air, and they saw, this bright disc-shaped object, flying through the sky over the hotel and off into the distance. And then on January 24th of this year, that was actually back in November, December, we have another sighting. It's a very short description here, but it does indicate that photos were taken. So it says here that the witness writes, "We took photos of New York Hotel at 8:30 a.m. Now, this is in the morning. The sun is up. Daytime sighting. On January the 21st, and upon developing the photos, a disc-shaped object, well, that's consistent at least with the prior report, appeared in the picture. And as we have noted on the show before, quite often people will be on vacation and taking pictures of the scenery, each other, and they'll get home, and if they have a digital camera, they'll load it into the PC and take a look at them, or if it's a regular film camera, have the pictures developed and look at them. And all of a sudden in the background, here's a family member standing there or something, and in the background in the sky is a UFO. And you say, well, how could they miss this? Well, very easily, when you're taking a picture of a subject, whether it's a friend or a relative or just a pretty scene, if you're focusing on what you're taking the picture of, you're not looking around the sky seeing what else is there.
You know, we had a high disc shaped the subject spotted by a couple of people out of the pool at one of the resorts, too, last July or August. You may remember that.
In Laughlin. Mm-hmm. Right.
And so there are lots of flying saucers around. Rod Davis, of course, is talking to us from the area called the Lakes, which is high above the Strip, west of town. And Rod, how are you?
Good. How about you, Jerry?
Okay, now, Rod, have you seen any flying saucers over Las Vegas?
I had to be looking in the wrong direction, unfortunately. I'd love to have.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the whole thing there is that I probably have seen things and just didn't pay attention. I mean, I think that's what happens, don't you, Larry?
For sure. I mean, it is such a common occurrence. People are busy with their lives. You walk down the street, you're driving in your car, you're paying attention because you have to for your own safety. You can't just be looking up in the air all the time, so you're going to miss a lot of stuff.
And you're not too far from Area 51. Have you tried to make a trip up there yet?
Not yet. There's been quite a few reasons why I haven't, mostly because I've been so doggone busy writing and talking to people about experiences that they have had.
Yeah, I am. We, of course, will cover a lot of that here in a minute. We're glad to have you on the show again. We've had you on a couple of times before, one time down at Laughlin, and then one time at a truck stop not too far from where I am today here in Oklahoma.
Yes, that was a good visit for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, if you don't mind, Rob, we'll go ahead and talk about a few more of these sightings reports, and then I want to get into your book and what's happening, and I know you have some paranormal experiences that have been happening as well. And as we do these sightings, if there's anything that sounds familiar to you, you just jump right in.
All right, will do.
Larry, we had some California sightings we could cover on our last report as well.
Yeah, there were several sightings out in California a few weeks ago, which are of interest. The first one comes from San Diego, this is an interesting one. I always love these cigar-shaped ones. Every time I hear about a cigar-shaped UFO, I immediately think of a Cuban cigar. And
some of them are quite large, a little bit larger than a Cuban cigar. In fact, Rod and I were talking to a guy the other day. He said one was a mile or two long, if I remember.
Well, generally, the cigar-shaped craft are quite large. And usually seen at very high altitude. Occasionally, you see one at lower altitude. But these are considered to be like the mother ships, and because disc-shaped objects have been seen emerging from these cigar-shaped craft, and so that would indicate that they're a facility for launching. The smaller craft. At any rate, this report is of a green cigar-shaped light that was seen on what was described as a cloudy night in San Diego, and this time of year, cloudy nights in San Diego are very common. And this was at 7:40 p.m. The witness called me, there are several witnesses involved here, and it says, she called me and our other friend outside. We all watched it for 5 minutes as it disappeared and reappeared a couple of times, remaining at the same spot. The green light was incredibly bright and of a color that was very phosphoric. It did not have any source or a tail. In other words, they're saying, it's just a cigar-shaped, bright green object. You really couldn't make out any detail.
When you think of phosphoric, you think, or I do at least, pale blue or almost white light, but this was green.
This is green, right. It was just like a mass of green light in the sky. It was quite high. Probably, this is a little unscientific, but hey, that's the way witnesses are. They say what they think. Says it was quite high, probably as far as Venus. I don't think so. But we weren't able to see it again as it got cloudier. So this was sort of a cloudy night. Maybe there were breaks in the clouds. And they would see this object above the cloud layer, and the clouds, would come and go, so they would see it come and go because the clouds were hiding it. But the glowing object, this is very common, especially if they're fairly far away, is you really can't discern a shape. You just see the light, but it definitely was a light in the shape. An oblong shape.
Like a cigar shape.
Right.
Yeah, that was in San Diego.
Right. Now, our next report comes from Desert Hot Springs.
Well, that's the home of Bob French.
Right.
Originally, he moved on up to Landers up in the mountains, but for many years he lived at Desert Hot Springs. That's right outside Palm Springs.
Right. It says here that the roaring, repeating, humming noise was eerie. Well, that this report's off to a good start, right? In 58 years, I guess this man must be about 58 years old, I have never heard such a low heartbeat sound ever. The witness states, I was in our home office on January the 21st at 6:50 p.m., and the sliding door was open when I heard a low, humming, pulsating like heartbeat from outdoors. It hummed in such a way that it sounded like it was alive. It was like an underground motor. I went outdoors and it stopped. We overlooked Palm Springs, California, about 1,500 feet above the valley floor with the desert hills behind us. It was dark. I went to the east side of the house and heard a chopper, but did not see that either. Then north of the house with my husband, we both saw a solid red light faster than an airplane cross the sky from east to west. I called my neighbor, and she said that she had heard it also. The vibration shook her refrigerator shelves down. That's how strong it was. In 30 years, she has never heard or felt anything like it. I sensed that the helicopter was chasing the object.
Well, they're probably right about that. We've talked about that low hum noise that is very common in the movies.
Right.
When these big motherships move around, and actually it seems to be based upon fact.
We have a recording of that on our UFO Files report page, you know, that where we have our written reports.
Yes.
When you open that page up, you will hear that sound of the mothership. Sounds very much like this description.
Very interesting. That's two sightings in the desert area.
Right.
In Southern California, San Diego, of course, right next to the ocean, but if it wasn't there, it would be desert.
Well, the last sighting in California comes from San Francisco. A small unidentified aircraft at low elevation with two or three different colored lights, red and white, was observed on January the 26th at 11:03 p.m. It was flying at a very low speed without FAA registration ID, located from my vantage point in my apartment at 1960 Fulton Street, which is right down in downtown San Francisco. It flew at in a southwest to northeast direction at an altitude of approximately 600 feet. I lost visual aircraft contact level with Gilson Hall on the University of San Francisco campus. It had an odd lower trajectory over a crowded metropolitan area. And it morphed, changed shape, this is a good one, from a single engine aircraft to an irregular lighting pattern. Take that for what it's worth.
I'm not quite sure what that would even look like.
Right. At a certain point, this aircraft was very identifiable to me as a small, single-engine Cessna-type aircraft. However, it flew in a rather odd trajectory, with the only identifiable features being an alternating red and white flashing light. I have spent some time gathering info to report to the FAA.
Rod Davis, you're a pilot. You probably flew that type of airplane. I don't know. Is that right?
I flew Cessnas and Pipers. But
what kind of lighting configuration does Cessna have?
Well, they have one on the tail and at the tip, and one on each wing, and a landing light.
Are they red? And
well, the one on the tail is white. Right wing, as I recall, is it's like when you're driving into your own neighborhood. You know,
oh, really?
All the streets, but you don't know the street sign. I believe the right wing is red and the left wing is green.
Right. which is standard for all aircraft. You know, have to have, you know, the left and right wing lights have to be the red and the green.
I've really never talked to Rod much about flying, but he described in his book, River of Fear, flying an airplane in detail, so I knew you had to know something about it, Rod. Okay, now, go ahead with the sightings here, and then we'll be talking to Rod Davis in a moment. I'm Jerry Pippin, and this is the UFO Files. We have Larry Dickin on the line from Secaucus, New Jersey. And Larry, I hope you'll hang in for the whole program with us. And we'll talk to Ron, and if you have any questions about some of the things Ron and I are talking about, I know you'll jump in too. And Rod, you feel free to jump in as we're doing the rest of the sightings reports. I think this last one's in Arizona. And Rod, I think you need to pay attention to this one. I think you'll find it interesting.
Oh, this is a good one, yeah. Before I get into that, however, I had one question for Rod, is if he can explain, is this individual that reported the sighting in San Francisco of a plane that seemed to change into something else, he said that this had no FAA registration ID. Could you explain that?
An FAA registration ID is a numerical ID. It also has letters in it.
Is that on the wing or the tail or something?
Well, it's placed in different places on different aircraft, uh-huh. either on the fuselage or the tail, but it's on the side, typically on the side of the aircraft.
So one would assume that, pardon me?
It's required.
Right. And one would assume that this individual was able to view this plane, you know, from angles such that he could see both sides of the plane, or, you know, he made an assumption that it was supposed to be on the side of the plane he was looking at, and there was none there.
Well, it has to be on both sides.
On both sides. Well, then that pretty well nails it, that this is a craft. It looks like a Cessna and has no identification on it, which would make it illegal.
Well, the interesting thing about that, we've discussed this many times on many shows, that these UFOs seem to have a way to, for lack of a better term, I'm always using the shadow analogy, cloud men's minds and make them see things they're not seeing.
Right.
So evidently, they on this particular deal, they didn't worry about making him feel like he needed to see the registration numbers.
Yeah. Either that or it was small enough that he couldn't see it.
Right.
Well, that's a good point. That could happen.
So let's get to this Arizona sighting. I think Rod is really going to enjoy this and have something to comment on it. This took place in St. John's, Arizona, which I'm not quite sure where that is.
I think it's down by Tucson, but I'm not sure. Any idea, Rod?
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, they can always go to MapQuest and figure it out. We have a link on our website of MapQuest. They can go right there and figure it out.
So, the witness was burning some wood debris near his home, 15 miles northeast of town. So he's not in the little town itself. He's out in the wilderness there. Has a house there. Very isolated. And this was at 9 a.m. in the morning on January the 30th. The witness states, "I saw about 100 yards away a perfect sphere about 5 or 6 feet across, hovering 75 yards off the ground, and it was moving very slow. It appeared to be observing from a distance, observing him or something. I walked towards the sphere, and it changed direction, and as I compensated, it changed direction again. Here's the important point. I don't think I was supposed to see the sphere because it was almost cloaked with the background. In other words, sort of blended in. The closest I could have come to describing this was that it refracted the light almost as if I were looking at a mirror ball in water." when it became obvious that I could see it in contrast to the sky by walking directly at it, the craft made several slow, evasive moves and then dropped away and down towards the ground in a bush. Then I could not distinguish it because there was no contrast to the ground and bush. I was unable to discern it at this point and lost my view of it. This event lasted about 5 minutes.
Okay, now, Rod Davis, does that sound familiar at all?
It sure does.
I think somebody's been reading your book.
It sounds like the only thing is that he's taken it from the western mountains of Maine and placed it in the desert of Arizona.
Right.
Now, folks, in the book River of Fear, there's an incident that's identical to this. Almost, except Rod says, you know, the setting's different. But that's interesting.
Very.
Now, what did you base your thing on in the book? Was that out of your imagination, or was that based on something true as well?
It was based on something true, and I expanded it with my imagination. Part of the part that's in the book that it was the basis for that phenomenon actually happened. And it happened in a manner that I described, with the exception of anything disappearing. Both my wife and I, then my date, we left before it could get close enough to us. We got kind of scared and didn't stick around. I was okay until she screamed.
Well, that's. I think it's very interesting that it shows up in real life. Somebody reporting it.
Yes. Well, it's actually. You know, it did show up in real life for Rod, and gave him a basis for doing his fiction novel. But in reality, it showed up in other places. And interestingly enough, not too long after your book was published, and you know, maybe there's some kind of a message there.
There could be, Larry. When I was writing the book, there was many times that I was pounding on the keyboard, so to speak, and ideas and things were jumping into my mind that I just write about. And afterwards, I would check with experts in the field to find out if what I had written was out and left field someplace, or if I was on target. And each time I was on target, and that kind of astounded me. And something that I thought about when you were talking about this sphere in the bush, the first time that Elaine and I saw the sphere was in a bush.
Huh. Interesting. And I don't think you mentioned that.
A little bit about your book, River of Fear. I think we have a link to your website in which they can order that book, and it's still available. A lot of people have been saying, well, is it still available? And it certainly is. And you have some pretty good news, some people looking at it, maybe consider it as a TV series down the line, a miniseries, some other things happening. So the book seems to be clicking right along.
There's a lot of interest in it, Jerry, and also on the website, there's a...
Well, now, if they order the book from us, I think you pay the shipping, is that right?
That's correct.
You're right.
But if they want to have the book delivered to them in a rush, then there is a small shipping charge.
Okay. But otherwise, just regular mail, you'll pay it.
That's correct.
On this book, River of Fear, what was the overriding thing to write about? You have a trilogy there, so you have two other books coming out, and so you have at least an outline of all three. Did that percolate in your head for a while, or did it just kind of come to you? I know we've talked before. You've had lots of paranormal experiences.
I wish I could answer your question, because it was one day that I was thinking about it, and this is just the way I recall it now, and I'm sure it was different, but one day I was thinking about writing the book, and the next day I knew exactly how the whole book would be.
This came to you that quickly?
Yes, and maybe it was all subconscious, and my subconscious mind was working on it for a long time, and that's why it came so quickly. I don't know, but it was all there. It seemed at the same time. And I knew what the book was going to be about and how it would begin and how it would end. But what I did not know is everything that happened in between. I had in between plans, but as I wrote it, and this happens to many writers as they write, as I wrote it, other ideas jumped in that were able to add different aspects to the story.
So, you know, we're talking about that incident in Arizona, very similar to an incident in your book. Let's talk about something else. Larry, he has another incident in which he writes about the pyramids, and all of a sudden he has a visitor show up, a paranormal visitor. Rob, why don't you tell us that story?
This incident actually began back in August, around the middle of August. And I had gone to bed before my wife, and I always say a nightly prayer, and then I turn onto my right-hand side. And when I did, I felt something jump on the bed, very pronounced. And then I felt it walk diagonally from my wife's side at the lower end up toward the middle part of my body, and then I didn't feel it any longer. And I lifted my head up, looked behind me, but there was nothing there. And I felt something settle on my lower part of my left leg, that I could feel it from my ankle to almost to my knee. I felt warmth from it. And I couldn't wait. I wasn't afraid. I was more curious, I think, than anything else, and I could not wait for my wife to come upstairs to bed so I could tell her what was going on. And it was more than an hour before she came up, and I didn't want to move because I didn't want it to go away. And for me to lay in one position for an hour, that took a lot of will for me. And when she came up, I told her about what was there, and what was going on, and she ran her hand over the covers where I told her it was, about 2 inches above it, and when she did, the weight and warmth went away. And I went to sleep, and that was like 10 o'clock, and then at 11 o'clock, something poked me in my lower rib cage, just below the rib cage on my right hand side, and it poked so hard it felt like it was going right through to my backbone, and it literally knocked the wind out of me. And I let out a loud grunt, which woke up Elaine also, and she asked what happened, and I told her, and that was the end of that. The next night, that warmth settled on me almost immediately when I finished saying my prayers and I turned onto my right hand side. And that same event has been going on almost every single night, even when I'm on the road traveling, ever since.
It only happens at your house?
No.
Anywhere you go?
Anywhere I go. But when I go, when I'm traveling, it's less frequently than when I'm at home.
Okay.
When I'm at home, it's almost every single night.
Now, you've kind of narrowed this down.
Pardon?
You've kind of narrowed this down on to what it might be.
Yes.
You think you've figured it out. Why don't you tell our listeners and Larry about this as well, and why, too. I mean, it's pretty incredible, this whole story.
Italy, I had talked with talked is the best thing to do. My wife and I called up this medium that goes into a trance and has an entity talk to this medium. She's in Sedona, Arizona.
Yeah, a Chandler.
Yeah. And we were sitting in our room here in Las Vegas, and this Chandler, the entity talking through her, named Ameritene, described our yard, our neighborhood, our house, everything to a T. And it said to me, "You've got a warmth on your lap." And I said, "Well, I got a piece of paper on my lap." And it said, "No, you have a warmth on your lap." It As a matter of fact, it's a kitty. And then it said it is an Abyssinian from ancient Egypt. And then it says, did you write about or talk about or do anything with Egypt? Pyramids? And I said, yes, because pyramids are part of my books. And it said, you opened the door, and in a combination of, we had other conversations, said a combination between my prayers and what I've written in the book opened the door, and it said, this is going to be with me, not going away, I may as well name it. So my wife looked up a name, and we named it Tithim, which is Egyptian for protector.
Somehow you feel writing about this has enabled this Egyptian cat to be there with you in spirit.
Well, I think it's more than spirit, Jerry. I think it's a dimensional somehow. And the only reason I say that is because I can feel the warmth from it. I can feel the weight in it, very pronouncedly. And I not only is this one coming to me, periodically I have as many as four with me. One on my right leg, one on my left shoulder, and one that lays up against my stomach on the bed. And I can feel the warmth from all of them, but that very seldom happens when all four are there. The one of the things that was a first, and maybe I should explain this, the second night that I had this weight on me, and I was telling my wife, and I was explaining to her everything that was going on, and she says, well, why don't you tell it to go away if it bothers you? She said, it doesn't bother me. I'm just explaining to you what's happening. Well, she took the covers and pulled them tight and jerked them up in the air. I felt the covers leave my leg, but the weight and the warmth stayed there. The night before last, when I first got in the bed and said my prayers, it was too warm and I didn't get underneath the covers. And this is the first I felt the weight settle on me before I got the covers over me. And that was the first. I never felt that before.
So in other words, you reach down there and touch it. You don't actually feel the cat, but you do feel the warmth.
And I've tried to reach down and touch it. And when I try to reach down and touch it, I don't feel anything when I do that. I only feel it on.
Very interesting.
Jerry?
Yeah.
Yeah, if I can interject something here, being that not only do I have two dogs, I also have two cats. And when Rod first started the story about something literally pouncing on the bed, as he was going to sleep, I said, how cat-like. I said, that's exactly what my two cats do, is when it's bedtime, they come running in, and sometimes they literally fly onto the bed, mainly to get around the Siberian Husky. So they move fast, but they jump right up on the bed, and then they settle in around the legs. And that was what I was thinking. So before you even brought up the fact that it was a cat, not a cat in the sense of a material cat, that was a thought entering my mind. I said, it's almost like it's just like a cat.
Now, Rod, you pretty well settle on the idea that it is a cat or cats.
Yeah. Yes, I have. And one of the things, Jerry, when this first started happening, and I told many people about it, I got feedback from different people, and at one point in time, I started to get scared, and I don't normally, but a couple of people said things that if it's on me and et cetera, it should ask my permission and so on, and I tried to communicate, and I'm not good at that. My body's good at communicating. I know when spirits are around, et cetera. My body feels it, senses it, but my mind, I for some reason, I'm not able to communicate telepathically or whatever it's called. But I started praying after a while when I got afraid in those first couple of weeks, and I asked God, Jesus Christ, if this entity that's coming to me is here within God's master plan, let it stay, and if it's not, make it go away. Well, after a week of this, it was still there, and I was wondering if maybe I was asking the right thing. So then I changed my prayer, and I said, to Jesus Christ, and I said, the Lord Jesus Christ, if this entity is here within God's master plan, since I am not capable of understanding a lot of mystical or hearing or whatever the case may be, please send me a sign that I know that this is within God's master's plan and it's okay to be here. 3 days, I prayed that 3 nights, and the fourth night, my wife and I are sitting watching television in our family room. We have sliding glass doors that goes out onto our patio by the pool. And I all of a sudden see this white bird, beautiful white bird, flying from side to side to the patio doors, from one side to the other side, right almost midway. And I got up and I walked over to it. And when I did, the bird started flying up and down the length of my body. And I'm standing there watching this. And I decided, maybe I'm going to let this bird in. And I started to open up the door to let it in, and my wife doesn't like birds. And she yelled, "Don't you dare!" So I stepped back to where I was, and the bird started flying up and down the length of my body again. Finally, I opened up the door enough where I could step out, and the bird landed on the patio near a table and chairs. And I walked over toward it, and it would just watch me, and when I got about 4 feet away, that's as close as it would let me get. And then I pulled out one of the chairs and sat down, and the bird walked over to the end of the pool where I have a cover rolled up on a stand, and it got behind one of the arch supports, and it played peekaboo with me, looking out from behind the arch support up, and then back behind it, and then back out again. And it did this, I don't know how many times. And then I got up and I walked over toward it again, and again it would let me get about 4 feet away, and it kept backing away until it got me over near my shed. And that's where we just stood and looked at each other, I don't know how long. And I finally then went back in the house and I sat down and watched TV. And I thought I saw the bird after that, but I wasn't 100% sure. The next day, I went out to see if the bird was still here. And I saw some white feathers there, and I said, "Oh, doggone, the neighbor's cat must have gotten it." And I went to pick up the skimmer cover to see what was, if I needed to empty it, and there was the bird, which kind of broke my heart when I saw that, a beautiful white bird. It was maybe about 12 inches long, and its body girth was the size of a blackbird. Never seen a bird like it before, and I haven't since. And I went in the side, and I called my wife to kill her because she wouldn't let the bird in the house. But the thing is, the kind of a mystery. And maybe it was the answer to my prayer, but the mystery is why did the bird pick our yard? Why did it fly side to side along the door? Why, when I walked up to it, did it fly up and down the length of my body? Why didn't it fly away? Why did it stay there and look at me? All of these whys. And I think that was my answer to my prayer. I just was sorry about the bird ending up dead.
Well, looking at the bird, do you think it died a natural death or what?
Say that again.
The bird, do you think it died a natural death or what? Or do you think a cat got it?
It looked like it died a natural death. It was not messed up at all. So
that would be consistent with the sign.
Yes. If I may, I talked with a Maritainen after this event. And Maritainen told me, I told this Maritainen how I felt that I said the bird, that broke my heart when I saw the bird dead. And the Maritainen said it was the answer to my prayer, God letting me know that it was there in my, as part of his master plan. And he said, and the bird told me, it's sorry that it killed you. And at first I didn't understand, but when these entities talk through a channeler, they don't really have a good grasp on our language, but when it said they killed me, it meant that it broke my heart.
You're listening to Rod Davis. He's in Las Vegas. Larry Dickens is in Secaucus, New Jersey. And I'm here in Oklahoma. And we're talking about some true life experiences. And we started out the show with some UFO sightings. The name of the book that Rod has written is called River of Fear. And River of Fear is actually going to be three books before it's all over. And let's go over how people can find it. I know they're in Las Vegas, our listeners there. They can go up to the Virgin Megastore up on the second floor where the books are. They're at Caesars Mall, and it's on sale there. In addition, they can order it from Amazon.com, and we have a link where they can actually get it from your website.
Yes, and if they order it from my website and do it through your link, I will, any request for the book through your link will not only be free shipping if it's normal shipping, but also it will be personalized with to whomever they want the book dedicated to and autographed by me.
And when they link from our website, there's a place there they can put all that information in there, and you'll do it.
That's correct.
And the book is called River of Fear. Larry, I don't know, we still have a few minutes left in the show. I don't know if you know about Rod having missing time or not.
We had discussed that a little in the past between you and I, but I really never heard Rod tell the full story.
That takes more than a few minutes.
Well, we have a good amount of time left here. We've got about, I'd say, it's like about 17 minutes left here.
The missing time I didn't know was missing time when it happened. I was on my way to a meeting with three other gentlemen at the Rio Casino at a metals conference in Las Vegas here. And I had been doing a lot of research for almost 2 weeks solid on Dulce, New Mexico, Sandia, Archuleta Mesa, and a lot of things to do with what has been happening with underground bases, alien bases, etc.
Right.
And I was really astounded at the information that I had dug up. And Wes Bateman, who is I've adopted as a mentor and is extremely knowledgeable in these areas, I placed a call to him while I was on the way to the meeting, and I was at the crossroads of Desert Inn and Rainbow when daughter answered the phone and the light had turned red, and she told me I should call back in a couple of hours because Wes was still resting. And I looked at the clock to determine what time I should call back, and I thought it said 10:30. As the light turned green, and as I crossed over Rainbow, I felt something pass through the upper part of my body, like a shimmering, something pass through the upper part of my body, waist up, and it lasted like a couple of seconds. Well, I'm 60 years old, and when something like that happens and you're this age, you say, well, what's going on now? That's exactly what I did, and then I happened to look at the street sign coming up, and I thought it was going to be Torrey Pines, because that would be the next one after Rainbow, and I looked, and when I saw it said Arville, I said, how can that be? Because that's 2.5 miles further down the road. And when I looked at the clock, it was still 10:30. And it's just not possible to drive through Vegas anytime, 2.5 miles in less than a minute. When I went to the meeting, I talked with a friend of mine there that I was meeting, who was a past president of the Las Vegas Desert Dowsers, and he's very knowledgeable. And I said to him, what do you think happened, Ed? And he said, I think you went through a portal. And I kind of accepted that answer. And as I left the next day for a book signing tour, and as I was traveling across the country to tell people about what happened, and some of them asked if I had any missing time, and I said no, because it was 10:30 when I hung up the phone, and it was 10:30 when I was 2.5 miles further down the road. And then a woman came to the book signing that told me about an experience that she and her two children had, where they had an hour and 45 minutes of missing time. And after she told me that, my wife and I were back in the car going to our next location, I kept seeing flashes in my mind that the clock on the dash said 9:30. And I'm saying, why am I getting this flash? And then I started thinking about the fact that when I looked at the clock, when I hung up from talking to Wes's daughter, I thought it said 10:30. And then I said to Elaine, you know, I wonder if it was 9:30 when I called and not 10:30. She said, no, it was later. But anyhow, long and short, when we got back to Vegas, I asked her for my cell phone bill to figure out for sure what time I called, and it was 9:40 that I placed the call, not 10:30. So I had 50 minutes of time that everybody knew I could have not accounted for.
You know, Larry, you think about it, you put the missing time here and the other dimensional cat, for lack of a better term, and the story about the sighting that we read at the top of the show from Arizona, which is identical to what's in Rod's book, and Rod's answer when I asked him earlier, well, did you write this book? How did you go about writing it? And he said basically it all came to him overnight after writing, and maybe that book has a message in it for everybody.
Well, it would appear so, and that's the reason I'm certainly looking forward to part two and part three, and see, how it all works out. I certainly have my thoughts about what might be forthcoming, but I'm not going to reveal those to the listeners. But
one of the things, Jerry, to go along with what you were saying, that I've been having a fun, or maybe it's more than fun, maybe it's a test. When I have my book signing, I ask the people when they buy the book, I give them my business card, and I tell them, look, I'd like, once you've read the book, to send me an email and let me know what scenes in the book you think are the factual scenes. And I told them I'll email them and let them know if they're right or not. Well, better than 90% of the time, the people pick the wrong scene. They don't pick the factual scene. And when I ask them why they picked the scene that they did, the people that respond to me tell me it's because it's exactly like something that they expected.
Very interesting. Very interesting. The name of the book is River of Fear, and as I said, in Las Vegas, you can pick it up at the Virgin Megastore upstairs at Caesars Mall, or you can, of course, order it from Amazon.com. But if you want an autographed copy from Rod Davis and free regular shipping, simply just hit our link, and it goes to his link. And by the way, you've updated your link a little bit. Haven't you, Rod?
Yes, we've added links where people can learn about paranormal experiences and from other, at least a half a dozen other sources. And also, we've included a link where people can read about experiences of people that, as they wrote it themselves, of things that happened to them that are unexplainable.
Very interesting thing, Larry, as you know Rod, and we have pictures of him throughout our website simply because he's an advertiser with us as well with this phone thing. What is this Excel exactly?
Well, Excel is an opportunity for people to be able to make serious money working from their home the 8 to 10 hours a week without having to buy anything at all. We're looking for partners that are serious about making money, sick and tired of being sick and tired of not having enough money. And we offer a way for them to be able to earn those dollars only by investing their time.
Now, it's actually, I guess, a long-distance phone company, is that right?
It is a long-distance phone company. It's some of the changes that came about in the phone industry over the past years have allowed significant changes where other providers can offer local service. Excel offers a local service that's really unique, and and it's unique in this manner. That's you're in Oklahoma, and you have their local service, and I'm sitting here in Las Vegas, and I have their local service. We call each other, but we don't have long-distance service. Because we have their local service, and both of us are on it, we don't pay for the long-distance call, and we can talk as long as we want.
I can get all that information there on several places on our website. They have a picture of you. And you click on and you follow that. I think one of them actually has a video, and there's an audio as well. But for people who are listening to us on the radio here, is there an 800 number or something they can call?
There is an 800 number that they can call. It is 877.
1-800-877.
Okay. 687-0840.
Let's run through it again for people. I give them a chance here to write that down.
Right. 877-687-0840.
And evidently you continue to make money off of these partnerships forever.
That's correct.
So the more people use their phone, the better off everybody is.
And everybody uses their phone. Every time a person pays their phone bill, you can get paid, and that's the difference in what's happened with the changes in the phone industry. There's a private, Xcel's a private company, and instead of spending all of their money advertising, they pour it into the people that want to make money from the phone industry. So if you want to, you recruit people, and we show you how to do that, to do what you're doing, and to... your objective is to get 10,000 people that are paying their phone bill that are going to, you're going to get a piece of it each month, and we show you how to do that very easily working from your home 8 to 10 hours per day.
Okay, folks, and that, of course, is on our banners, on our website, but also, Rod, give that phone number one more time.
Phone number is 1-877-687-0840.
Interesting, we're talking with Rod Davis here from Las Vegas, Larry Dickens on the line from Secaucus, New Jersey. And Larry, we have probably 4 or 5 minutes left of the show, I think.
You've got 6 minutes.
Basically, Rod, there's some other things that you've had happen to you over the years. Do you still have your newsletter, Simply Unexplainable?
We've stopped the newsletter, and
the reason I ask you basically is because you've come across some pretty interesting cases. We might discuss some of those things, or maybe you have a new development that I don't know about. What do you think our listeners might be interested in here?
Sure. The newsletter, we've discontinued the newsletter only because it was very time consuming to try to meet a deadline on a monthly basis. And it was cutting into my ability to be able to devote enough time to writing the book two of the trilogy.
Yeah, I can understand that. A lot of people, if they've never written, do not realize how much time it really that takes and how much it takes out of you. Or at least it does me.
Yeah, and I'm no exception.
Yeah.
But what we have done instead is that we have a backlog of experiences that people have written about that we're going to add to the Rod C. Davis website each month, which you have the link to. So there will always be new information on a monthly basis that people can go to.
And of course, that's one of the secrets of keeping a website busy. Is putting more information up there, and you've had some pretty interesting things in that newsletter over the years. I know we've talked about some paranormal experiences and ghost things and poltergeist, but most of it's dealing with UFOs and ETs. Am I not correct?
Well, I'd say 50% of it is dealing with UFOs and ETs, and there's one. Woman, that ex-woman is the reason that I finally determined that I had missing time. This woman lived in a rural part of Maine with her husband and two children, and on one evening they were going to watch a two-hour program that went on at 9 o'clock, and when they turned on the TV, They happen to see these lights doing strange things in the sky out over the trees at the edge of the fields where they live. And the four of them went out to the yard to take a look at what was going on. And they remember the lights going from treetop up to a very high distance at a very rapid pace, come back down again, and then go back up again and totally out of sight in the blink of an eye, all without making any noise. And they thought that this all lasted maybe a minute or a minute and a half, and they went back in to watch their TV program and found out that there was only 15 minutes left of the hour or two-hour movie. It changed her and her husband so much that they ended up divorcing. And she left Maine and went to Cape Cod, Massachusetts. She had back problems, and the important reference in this is that she had x-rays taken in Maine prior to going to Cape Cod. And when she went to Cape Cod, her back problems resurfaced, and she went to a chiropractor, and they took x-rays, and he asked her, he said, you know, when were you shot? And she says, what do you mean shot? And he said, well, look, and he showed her, and there were four pellets in a cluster in her right pelvic region. There was no scars for any entry, and this baffled her. And when she went home, she called her chiropractor in Maine and asked him to send a copy of her x-ray. And when she got it, she brought it to the chiropractor in Cape Cod. And when they compared them, the prior to 1992, when they had that hour and 45 minutes of missing time, there were no pellets.
You know, it's mind-boggling.
Yes. And she's had many experiences. Bill, I'm forgetting the name. Bill Moore, I think his name was, that was very much involved in Archuleta Mesa and Sandia, sent her a letter out of the clear blue and when she was in Cape Cod, telling her about some of the things that she's experiencing and why. And that letter disappeared, and since then, so have her x-rays disappeared. All evidence of anything that happened in the past has disappeared, which has totally baffled her, and she wants to know. She had an x-ray done for the pellets so she'd have that on hand, and the pellets are no longer there.
Incredible, incredible. Well, Rod, it's always great having you on the show. And Larry, you have any final questions for Rod before we give him one last plug?
Well, I found that last story extremely interesting, and I'm sure he's got many more similar to that, and we can talk to him in the future about. Unfortunately, our time is almost up here.
Okay,
so,
now, Rod, they can order that book, River of Fear, through our link on our website, to your website, and your website now is roddavis.com?
Yes, www.rodcdavis.com.
Roddavis.com.
Right.
And if they do that, they'll get an autographed copy when they order the book. And otherwise, they can go to the Virgin Megastore there in Las Vegas, or they can use Amazon.com. And now, as far as the XL phone service, they need to click on one of our banners on our website and investigate that more thoroughly. There's one of the great things about computers, you don't have a salesman reaching out and grabbing you and pulling you right in through the screen.
That's
so you can take a look at it and see if you're interested in VR. You have an 800 number to call.
And there's also the video that takes about 13 minutes to see, which gives them an explanation of this business agency.
Okay, that number is 1-877-687-0840. Rod, thanks very much.
Thank you, Jerry. It's been a pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you, Larry.
Larry, Dickon, you have any final thoughts here? We're out of time. I know that.
Just my usual thoughts ending our shows. Keep your eyes to the skies.
Right. Watch out for those flying saucers, folks. This is Jerry Pippin, Larry Dickon, and Rod Davis. Good night.
Good night.